everyone. Welcome to the Weekly Yap, episode 4. I'm your host, Travis Thomas. This podcast is coming to you from South Florida, kind of an overcast South Florida, but nice and warm South Florida nonetheless. So thanks for tuning in today. Today's podcast is called There Are No Bad Shots, and it gets a little bit back to sort of my day job down here in Florida. I am a performance specialist for a soccer academy for the TCU Powered by Massive Soccer Academy down here in South Florida. So that's my day job, working with athletes, working with soccer players on a day-to-day basis on leadership and mental development skills, specifically for soccer. But as a life coach and doing personal development, I'm working with different athletes and people from all walks of life, from executive coaches or as an executive coach and a business coach to relationship coaching and just all around life coaching. And so the next couple of weeks, kind of back to a normal schedule here with doing the soccer, working with the kids in the evening, doing my normal coaching during the day. We've got some Jove improvisation shows coming up this next couple weekends, which I'm always excited about. And then continuing to book some school performances or school talks and some corporate talks over the next few months. So let's get into it. This is episode 4, There Are No Bad Shots. So I have to start things off, since we are talking sports today. And for those of you who are listening going, oh, they're talking sports today, this isn't going to apply to me. Hold on, stay in there. It is going to apply to you. I'm basically using a session I had with a golfer this week and want to talk about how it applies to every aspect of our life. So bear with me, talking sports, but it's not a sports outcome. But I do need to start off with my beloved Detroit Lions. Yes, they tried to give it away yesterday and start 0-6, but they pulled it out somehow. And my Lions are 1-5, so there will be no repeat of the 0-16 season from a few seasons ago. We just get to kind of wallow in the rest of the season, knowing that essentially the season is over. At least we might sprinkle a couple of wins along the way. Although I shouldn't say that. Lions, if you're out there and you need someone to come in and give you guys a pep talk, talk a little performance, I am always available. Would love to do that for my Lions. On another Michigan-related sports note, if you're listening, you see, this is when the state is divided. Michigan State football this weekend. It is the rivalry game for the state of Michigan. You either bleed green or you bleed maize and blue. I have family that have gone to Michigan State, so I'm pretty diehard Sparty. And obviously one of the craziest endings in college football history happening Saturday night. I had almost given up when Michigan State turned the ball over on downs and was about to turn it off and take the dog for a walk. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just let the clock run out. We'll just kind of, you know, see the handshake and call it a day. And lo and behold, 10 seconds left. All Michigan had to do was punt it, and Michigan State was done, you know. And the punt was dropped, fumbled, picked up by Michigan State. And for any of you who have watched the replay, you kind of know the rest. A stunned Big House in Ann Arbor as 100,000-plus people speechless. A game that that was theirs for the taking and gone. Just Charlie Brown, the ball pulled back at the very last second. And so as much as I am a huge diehard Spartan fan, I feel horribly for the punter in Michigan. And I feel horrible for just fan. When you lose a game that way, I think losing a game that way feels worse than the feeling of the win, of getting the win. And so, you know, I think we've all been in that spot, whether as a fan or as a player. And as much as, you know, I am a Sparty fan, my heart does go out to that, the football team in Ann Arbor, as well as the fans. But I do want to use what happened as kind of a lead off to talk about our main idea today. And so if you look back at that game, it was actually a pretty mistake free game from the standpoint of teams or the players making bad plays. Now there were some controversial calls, but those weren't really the result of bad plays as much as they were just kind of, you know, the plays that happened during the game. But when you look at turnovers in that game, there were no turnovers in that game until the last play of the game. And so from a mental standpoint, you look at that and go, okay, both teams were disciplined. They were locked in. Sure, there were some drop balls here and there, but there were some amazing plays. They're just, it didn't look like the nerves were showing like you would expect in a game of this magnitude. And so all of that, and then the last play of the game, it's just unfortunate that it was probably a case of nerves. It was one play to win the game. All they had to do was basically get rid of the ball and just to flub it, to drop it, and then instead of diving on it to try to kick it. So you look at that, and no matter, you know, that this, again, this punter who played a spectacular game, both teams who played a spectacular game, at the end of the day, it's how do we manage the big moments in our life? How do we deal with the pressure with the big moments in our life? And that's not just for athletes. That's just for all of us on a day-to-day basis. Those moments that kind of define our day or define our week or defy big moments of our life, how do we handle that pressure? And for some of us, it's the pressure of not responding to a child who's having a meltdown in the supermarket, or how we respond to an overbearing boss or a micromanaging boss, or how we respond to the guy that cuts us off on the road. How do we deal with these moments throughout our day that really call forth a productive, purposeful, and powerful response from us? And so when I look back on that moment, you know, that's all about really staying in the moment. And I haven't heard any interviews from the punter. But if he got caught up like anyone else got caught up in that moment, you know, Michigan was essentially already celebrating on the sidelines. The fans were already celebrating in the stands. It was probably really easy if you were a player on that field, if you were a Michigan fan, to mentally jump ahead to we've won and what a party this is going to be, how great this is going to feel. It reminds me of this summer, the World Cup, huge soccer fan, but the World Cup down in Brazil, or actually I guess that's two summers ago, the U.S. national team was leading Portugal in extra time. So the game was being called at any point. And Portugal, the U.S. makes a couple mental mistakes. Portugal drives down the field, crosses it in, scores to get a result, to get a tie out of that game. But what I loved more than anything is after the game, Tim Howard, the American goalkeeper, was doing a post-game interview. And he was asked about, you know, well, how do you describe that? And he said, and this is huge because you don't often get players being this vulnerable and open and honest for a post-game interview. He's like, if I'm being honest, I was already mentally reading the headlines in the paper the next day. Meaning, in his mind, the game was done. It was over. He was reading the headlines. The Americans win. They're through to the next round. And so if a player of that magnitude at that level can get caught up playing the game of, you know, just not staying in the moment, then surely a college student can. Surely you and I can on a daily basis. And it's that ability to stay in the present moment. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day. She was listening to a podcast about happiness, the happiness research out there. The one thing that it all has in common is that when we feel a sense of anxiety or stress, it's because our mind is wandering. We are not staying in the present moment. And as an athlete, you know you need to stay in the present moment. And to get to our main idea today, what I love about improvisation, obviously, I've been an improviser for 16 years. I work it into all of the coaching and the performance training that I do, because improvisation for me, more than anything in my life, has forced me to stay in the present moment, to be fully engaged with what's happening, to be fully present, to be fully engaged with my scene partner or scene partners that I'm performing with, because to not stay in the moment means I'm going to miss crucial information. And the result of that could be I'm going to look really foolish, I'm going to look really silly, and I'm going to feel really naked up there on stage making a fool of myself unless I fully jump in and I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm not thinking about the grocery list. I'm not thinking about what the audience member looks like, or I'm just fully engaged in the moment. And so improvisation for me is my own sort of mindfulness practice. You know, I do listening in the morning, I do reflection, but I am fully present when I am improvising. And so I use that because this week I was doing a coaching session with a high school golfer, and this is a kid I've been working with for a few years now, and fantastic kid. He's got a great mental game. And he and I were talking about sort of his desire, actually, to stay in the present moment. And actually, he understands that. He gets it. And he was saying, you know, if I look at a typical round, I'm pretty locked in and focused most of the round. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. You know, I think if you probably, I think he said probably 15 holes of 18, I feel locked in. To me, that would be phenomenal. And I said, if you probably toured or took a poll of the PGA Tour right now and they said I'm locked in 15 out of 18 holes, that'd probably be a pretty high number. And so, again, our goal from shot to shot, hole to hole, is to be in the present moment. Good shot or bad shot on the previous shot, you got to let it go and come to the present shot, which is the only shot that is ever happening. And so as he and I were talking about this, he says that he and his coach, they've developed a 10-step rule, meaning after every shot, especially, let's say, a bad shot, he has 10 steps to get his frustration out, and then it's time to move on to the next shot, which I think is fantastic. It's a great tool. You'll see a lot of tour players hit a bad shot, and then immediately there'll be a burst of frustration. You know, we've seen some of Tiger's infamous tantrums over the years, but it's the ability within a few moments or a few steps to let that go and move on to the next shot, the now shot. You know, it's always about the now shot. And there is a fantastic stat this summer during one of the majors. You know, Jordan Spieth had won the first two majors, and I think he was in his third major at the time. And at this point, anytime he'd had a bogey during one of those tournaments, his next hole was always a birdie. So that was his stat for about three major tournaments. Whenever he had a bogey, his next hole was a birdie. Now that is some amazing mental focus to take a negative experience and to immediately turn it into a positive experience. And so would love to hear more about what his mental process is. But as I was talking to my young golfer this week, you know, in improvisation, there is an idea or a mantra in improvisation that there are no mistakes. There are no mistakes. So whatever happens on stage, whatever happens in a scene, whether it was intentional or not, there are no mistakes. There's no good offer or bad offer. There's no good idea or bad idea. There's simply just the idea. And great improvisers and great teams, great improv teams, understand that some of the best stuff comes out of the quote-unquote mistakes. It's when you take an unexpected idea and turn it into something that's never been created before. And it makes it a lot easier to do that because it was an unintended idea. It was a mistake. And some of the most entertaining and most brilliant scenes I've ever been a part of, it's always been off of one performer saying something or doing something that they didn't mean to do, which then propelled the scene into an entirely different direction where there was newness. There was a journey that had never been done before. So as I was listening to the golfer and helping him with this idea of being present and being able to let go of the frustration as quickly as possible, this idea came to me. And I said, now, listen, the 10-step rule is fantastic because it's the ability to get rid of the frustration. But what about this? What about if we had the mindset, the mental mindset, that there were no bad shots? The whole reason we have a 10-step rule in the first place is because we believe it was a bad shot and we need to get over it. We need to let it go. But what if we had the mindset that there were no bad shots? So in a typical golf round, maybe we have unintended or unexpected shots, but we don't have bad shots. So I was aiming to go this direction. My ball went left. Now I'm in the rough. I could beat myself up. I could get frustrated and angry and feel that that was a bad shot. Or I could just go, not where I expected it to go, but what a great opportunity. This is where my current shot is. What a great opportunity. And so there are no bad shots. There's just unexpected shots, because every shot, every opportunity is always an opportunity to learn, especially when we find ourselves hitting out of obstacles. Obviously, we're talking about golf here. And this golfer is a huge Tiger Woods fan, and we're talking about some of Tiger's greatest shots that he's ever had. And it's been shots where he's hitting out of a sand trap, or hitting out of the rough, or hitting around an obstacle, or an 80-foot putt. And when you think about it, what makes all of those shots so amazing is that they are shots that were coming from obstacles, adverse situations. So it's not like he's playing a perfect round all the time. He's not always hitting out of the fairway. He's not always hitting, 8 feet from the pin. These shots that are so amazing are shots that came from unexpected or unintended previous shots. Now, if we have this ability to say there are no bad shots, there's just unexpected results, now we're able to stay in a frame set or a mental mindset during a round that there's no ups and downs, peaks and valleys of good or bad. There is simply, oh, that's not what I expected, but oh, wow, now I get the opportunity to hit out of a sand trap. Now I get the opportunity to hit from behind a tree. And the cool thing about that is that maybe in that current hole, that current round, you're thinking, wow, this is really going to affect my score. But the bigger picture is you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is really going to help me down the line. This is going to be, because what you're building up that belief and that confidence that I have done this before. There's great stories about, the amount of time that Tiger Woods would spend hitting crazy shots out of tough situations as practice. And what he's doing is he's building that belief, he's building that confidence, and he's building that experience so that when he finds himself in that situation, he has the confidence and belief to go, I've been here before, no big deal, I've got this. And so why can't we do that with ourselves? Why can't we do that when we have unexpected or unintended results? I know I butcher this all the time. I know my wife's listening to this going, yeah, wouldn't that be great, Travis, if you could do that? Because I butcher it all the time. So I'm saying this podcast not from the standpoint, why can't you do that? You should be able to do this. No, why can't we do this? And the reason I love being a performance coach and a life coach and improvising is because I get to teach the ideas that I aspire to demonstrate more daily myself. So I'm not coming to you as the expert. I'm coming to you with someone with some insights and experience. But I am trying to demonstrate this to the best of my ability as much as I can as well. And it's just a constant reminder for me. There are no bad shots. There are no bad moments. And again, for some of you, you might be going, oh, that reminds me of a story. Yes, it reminds me of the story or the parable of the farmer and the son. And there's a farmer and the son. And one day the son leaves the barn door open and all of the horses run away. And that's kind of a big deal. They need the horses for the farm. So this is a big deal. And the neighbors come over and they tell the father, we heard about the horses, that's so bad. And the farmer just simply responds, good or bad, who knows? They kind of give him a funny look, like, all right, whatever. A couple weeks later, the horses come back to the farm and they attracted some wild horses. So now they have more horses than they began with. And the neighbors come over like, oh, wow, we've heard about your horses. That's so good. And the farmer responds, good or bad, who knows? Again, the neighbors are like, what's that all about? A couple weeks later, the son is trying to tame one of the wild horses, and he gets thrown off of it and breaks his shoulder. So now he can't work on the farm for months. And the neighbors come over. We heard about your son. That's so bad. Simply, good or bad, who knows? Then a few years later, the country goes to war, and they're going farm to farm, recruiting young men to fight on the front lines. And we know what that means. And they come, and they give a physical to the son, and his shoulder didn't heal properly, so he can't hold a gun properly, so he fails the physical, so he gets to stay home. And the neighbors come to the father and say, we heard about your son. That's so great. And the farmer simply responds, like he's always responded, good or bad, who knows? There are no bad shots, good or bad, who knows? There are no bad days, good or bad, who knows? Whether it's getting fired, whether it's a relationship ending, whether it's running out of gas, whether it's bad weather, whether it's a flight getting canceled, good or bad, when we are constantly judging, and having an opinion over every little detail of our life, we basically put ourselves on this roller coaster of emotions and happiness and sadness. Instead of developing this mindset of, it's just what is happening. It's not a bad shot. It's not a bad day. It's what do I do with it? What do I do to yes and what is happening? And that's why this is called Live Yes And. How do I yes and what is happening? I don't have to like, my ego doesn't have to like what has just happened, but I have to yes and what is happening right now in order to turn it into something. Or else I'm just going to stay in this amazing funk. And there's nothing that's going to come of the funk, victim, fixed mindset. I need to say yes and to what is happening and make the best of what is going on. And if we can take that to the next level of not even feeling like this is bad, but simply going, this is what is happening. So my job is just to be in collaboration with it as quickly as possible instead of competing with the facts. And I think a lot of us spend a great amount of our time and frustration and anxiety and stress fighting with the facts instead of getting in collaboration with it. And it would be a game changer. It would completely shift and switch how we deal with those life's frustrations and life's curveballs if we would just adapt more of a yes and mindset. And I'm working on it. And hopefully you are going to work on it too. So that's episode 4. There are no bad shots. A couple of reminders before I send you guys on your way. I will be doing another Yes 101 online program that's going to start November 16th. And so for those of you, the Yes 101 program, it's a 30-day program. You get an email every day with a different activity that gets you out of your comfort zone, gets you into your yes zone, but gets you out of your comfort zone and allows you to connect more deeply with your purpose and authenticity. And it's fun, it's a different activity, and it's only $30. $30. So go to the website, liveyesand.com. That is now live in the events page, and you can sign up in the events page. And for those of you in South Florida or just Florida in general, we've got 2 Jove improvisation shows coming up. One this Saturday, October 24th at the Jupiter Performing Arts Center. And then the following Friday, October 30th, we are performing a Friday night show, the Friday before Halloween on the 30th. It's a special Halloween Jove show. Comedy will be great. And again, that will be at the Jupiter Performing Arts Center as well. And so lots of great stuff going on. And I am always interested and excited to hear from you all. If anyone would like to book a one-on-one coaching call with me, we can do a quick 30-minute call. It's only $50, but 30 minutes to get to know you and what's going on and how I might be able to help you. Again, drop me an email, travislthomas@mac.com. And have a wonderful, wonderful yes and day, everyone.